Thomas Sadowski is currently on the main stage of the Williamstown Theater Festival, starring in Bess Wahl's very funny Grand Horizons with Jesse Tyler Ferguson and Jo Beth Williams. TV viewers will recognize Thomas from his past roles in The Newsroom, the many proliferations of the various Law and Order canon, and the recently canceled CBS hit Life in Pieces. Moviegoers have seen him in Wild and John Wick Chapter 2, just to name a few. And those who love theater certainly know his work for his Tony-nominated performance in Reasons to Be Pretty, The House of Blue Leaves, The Tempest, and Other Desert Cities, for which he won an Obie Award. Grand Horizons runs through July 28th at the Williamstown Theater Festival, and it is a thrill to welcome Thomas Sadowski to the roundtable this morning. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, Joe. How you doing?
I'm well. Thank you very much for being on the program. I saw the show the other night. I loved it. I just thought it was an amazing piece of work. So give me a sense of how you became a part of it.
Well, Mandy Greenfield, the artistic director of Williamstown, and Lee Silverman, who directed Grand Horizons, and I have all worked together many, many, many times, and we're always trying to find something to do together. And Bess Wahl is somebody who I have known for going on 20 years. I've just never done a play of hers before, and it all just sort of came together in a wonderful, perfect storm of opportunity and timing. And, you know, I was thrilled to jump on board a cast like this, and we're having a great time. I'm glad you enjoyed the show, and people really are connecting with it and laughing their faces off, which is, you know, just a great way to spend the summer.
So you have a mom and a dad who've been married some 50 years. They're in this retirement community, and then mom announces that she wants a divorce. The kids come in and say, "What are you doing?" And suddenly you have people taking sides, changing sides, and a very, very funny look that I think appeals to just about anyone who has ever been in a relationship and anyone who's ever been part of a family.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's sort of the brilliance of Bess Wahl as a playwright, is that she is able to, you know, there's a sort of great story that we had heard. Lee Silverman had told us all. She was walking out of the theater the other night, and, you know, a group of folks were walking out in front of her, and it was theatergoers of a certain age, and they said, "Boy, we just sure love the show, but how are younger people going to relate to it?" And Lee was just so tickled because, you know, younger people were his Bess who wrote it and Lee who directed it. And there's just something universal about family. And, you know, I think it was Irma Bombeck who said it best, that, you know, family ties are the kind that bind and gag. And, you know, that is sort of the nature of the show that we're doing here, that, you know, anyone who's ever had a family or a parent or has been a parent can relate to what we're doing up there. And certainly anybody who's ever been in a relationship, and a long-term relationship at that, can relate to the trials and tribulations of spending an inordinate amount of time with another human being. You know, that can really wear on you after a little while, in the best way, and, you know, sometimes in the less than best ways too.
You know, what struck me about it is, you think of most, many, many stories, it's good versus evil. It's the people wearing the black hats and the people wearing the white hats. And in your
right.
show, all those characters could be wearing either at any given time.
At any given moment, just like all of us.
That's right,
you know?
Exactly.
That's it. That's, you know, part of the relatability, you know, of the show. And that's why people are responding to it across all the demographics, you know, that it is just an inherently human story that on a fundamental level, everybody can relate to. And, you know, the laughs that we get are not just, you know, the sort of big, broad laughs that you get from, you know, quote unquote, funny things happening on stage. We get those too. But the laughs that we're really proud to get are those deep, soulful laughs of recognition. And we have a lot of those in our show. And, you know, that's just, it's a real joy to experience that with an audience. You know?
What was it like when you didn't have the audience, when you were working on it, and you I think you assume, you hope, where the laughs are going to come, but then the first time it's done in front of an audience, of what that exploratory experience is like?
You know, it's amazing. We had, at a certain point, all of our jokes sort of, you know, we've seen all of our jokes a million times at this point. So it ceased being a comedy to us pretty early on in the rehearsal process. You know, we were all like, oh yeah, that's funny. But you know, we weren't really deep down laughing too much anymore. And so the show in the rehearsal room took on this really heavy sort of intense tone, interpersonal tone, which I think in so many ways benefits us, because we're going out there and we're playing this thing honestly, and we're playing it straight, and we're playing it like it's a, you know, like this is O'Neill, you know, we're playing it like it's a heavy drama, and right, that weight makes it so much funnier. You know, if we were out there really yucking it up, doing slapsticky stuff, I don't think that it would land with as much humor as it does. So, you know, we spent the first, you know, few days laughing and laughing and laughing with each other in the rehearsal process. And then as the weeks went on, you know, it just sort of, it became a completely different beast. And then, you know, I like to refer to the audience coming in as, you know, the lightning going into Frankenstein's monster. You know, now we have our final component, and the show has, with, you know, we have, along with the show and along with the audience, grown into a completely different thing, which is really exciting. That's why you do new plays, you know, to watch these things grow and come alive in front of and with people.
I mean this in the best possible way, and I hope you take it this way, but it seems as though as written, this, both it with your character and with Jesse Tyler Ferguson's character, and again, you two play brothers, that it so plays to your strength and the great performances that you have given over the years, that it plays to all of those wonderful things that the two of you can do.
Well, I don't know how I couldn't take that as a compliment. Thank you. That's very kind. the wonderful thing about working with artists like Bess Wahl and like Lee Silverman is that they create a platform and a world in which you can do your most honest work. They provide a safety for you to do your most honest work. And then you start adding in the tremendous talents of people like Jesse Tyler Ferguson and Joe Beth Williams and Priscilla Lopez and Ashley Park. And, you know, it's just the thing just starts to take off. Yeah. And before you know it, we're all just banging these creative juices off of each other in a really wonderful way. And, you know, we're having a blast. You know, we really love being on stage with each other.
Now, I caught your talk back the other night, and I don't want to misquote you, so help me out here. But I believe you referred to yourself as an actor as a skeleton with meat attached and a little bit of glitter.
I think what I said was, I think what I referred to as all of us,
yeah,
not just actors, but the audience as well. Like, part of the reason that we all come to the theater to sit down is because at the end of the day, we're all trying to figure out what it is to be a human being on this planet. And I think I paraphrased something that I had heard from someone once that, you know, basically you're a ghost piloting a skeleton covered in meat that's made out of star stuff. You know, why wouldn't that be a very confusing thing to do? But also, those are the great big questions and the great big wonder that we get to walk through the world with. And that's why I love the theater, because we all sort of drive our little spaceships into this theater together, and we sit down and look at each other, strangers or friends or otherwise, and, you know, we learn together or have a mirror of humanity held up in front of us, and we get to experience it together. And we create, just for a little while, community. And, you know, and I mean that in the sense of communing. And, you know, I'm not usually that much of a hippie, but when it comes to the theater, you know, I can, for some reason, it brings out, you know, the woo-woo in me. And I guess, you know, you guys caught me on a good one at that talk back the other night.
So this is being co-presented with the Second Stage. So the idea is for this to play in later this year in New York. And so will everyone now involved be a part of that production?
That's a good question. I mean, we'll see when we move exactly whose schedule allows and who's available for what. But yeah, we will be moving the show to Broadway, to Second Stage's Broadway house at the Helen Hayes Theater in the late fall. We'll get going in December.
And for you to be a part of a production, you know, from the ground up, that must be a wonderful, wonderful gift.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, this is the sort of dream come true kind of thing. You know, you always want to spend time on Broadway, and then, you know, to get the opportunity to work it out at a tremendous place like Williamstown, you know, to allow Bess and Lee to take a look at the show, to have this audience up here get to be part of the growing and maturing process of the play. You know, you can't really ask for much more than that.
All right. So a couple of things before I let you go. I want to talk to you about The Newsroom. This was a wonderful show.
Oh, yeah.
Where I really became a Thomas Sadowski fan. You play Don Kiefer in that show. Give me a sense of what that was like to work on for the three seasons with Aaron Sorkin, and to be in that type of beautiful, to me, a beautiful role that was a show that really had something to say.
Job of a lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, I sort of danced around in the, you know, I'm a theater rat. The vast majority of my career I have spent in New York doing off-Broadway theater, because that's my passion and that's my love. And, that's, you know, where this thing makes the most sense to me. And, you know, as a New York actor, you know, you get these opportunities. Thank you, Dick Wolf, to make Rent every once in a while and, you know, be part of the Law and Order franchise. And then one day Aaron Sorkin came and saw a play that I was in. And after that, he said that he was interested in having me meet with him about this this new project that he had, that, you know, he was going to shoot in L.A., but he wanted New York theater actors for it, because he wanted actors who cared and who really invested in that way. And it started, you know, at the top with Jeff Daniels and Sam Waterston. And, you know, we just started building our cast from there. And it was, you know, every day to show up on set and get to talk about things that mattered, and every day to show up on set and get to be engaged in a creative process with some of the truly most talented people out there, you know, not just in front of the camera, but behind it as well, it was just an absolute gift. And, you know, that job gave me so much, not just artistically, but personally. You know, Sam Waterston was the person who put me in line with a tremendous organization called Refugees International. I later joined the board of directors because of Sam. You know, he had been working with them for decades, and he knew my passion about that particular subject. And, you know, next thing I know, I was on the board of directors of an international refugees organization. And, you know, that led me to the organizations that I sit on the board of directors of and an ambassador for now, INARA and War Child. And, you know, it's just that opportunity really filled out my life in a way that was incredible. And it's given me so many gifts. And I'm forever indebted to Aaron and Alan Poole and HBO and just the amazing people that I got to know and work with and befriend on that set every day.
Only lasted like 2.5 seasons. It should have gone longer, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess
my gut on it is that it lasted exactly as long as it was going to, because at the end of the day, you know, it was Aaron's story. It was the story that Aaron wanted to tell. And when he was done telling that story, there was no point in continuing. And he finished up telling the story that he wanted to tell. I would have liked for it to go on. I feel like, you know, the last few years would have been pretty incredible fodder for our show. But,
absolutely.
We were way ahead of the game. That's an exciting thing to have been a part of. You know, I mean, I think that a lot of the discussion about news and media and the responsibility of the media and how we look at news and information and the people who give it to us were topics that we covered back then. And people sort of rolled their eyes during the Obama administration and said, you know, oh, come on, you know, the media isn't all that great or important, or what's the use of blah, 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 blah. Well, now we're in a sort of post-truth society, and, you know, the Fourth Estate is more important now than it ever has been, certainly in my lifetime and probably in since, well, the last 50 years anyway. So, you know, I think that we were telling a story that still resonates and was way ahead of the game. And that's a cool thing to be a part of as an artist.
The final question I have for you, of course, is Life in Pieces. There's another show. You were doing great in the ratings. What happened?
I wish I knew. you know, I think that if I had the answers to that, you know, we probably could have done something to stop it. You know, yeah. There was a big administrative changeover up at CBS. And, you know, I think that our show was just one of the things that got caught in the transition. And it sadly just wasn't a priority for Fox, who is our studio that co-produced with us, or CBS. You know, who were more interested in putting out content that they fully controlled. And, you know, and from a business sense standpoint, that makes complete sense. Creatively, it was heartbreaking because that was a tremendous comedy, network comedy, and a tremendous group of people. And we all loved each other very much. And, you know, we had a pretty ridiculously big fan base, and, you know, people stop me every day and talk about how much they love that show. And, you know, that's another show that I think will live on, will be appreciated more in its, you know, passing than it was when it was on. As people continue to discover it on the streaming platforms, they'll realize what a gem it was. And, you know, again, a great thing to be a part of. And we'll see what comes next.
Yeah, you see what comes next, and which I assume part of it is this wonderful show, Grand Horizons, which...
Absolutely.
Is on stage at the Williamstown Theater Festival, runs through the 28th of July, and you can find out more information at WTFestival.org. WTFestival.org. Tommy Sadowski, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Absolute joy. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Great pleasure. Again, Grand Horizons playing on the main stage through the 28th of July, a world premiere by Bess Wahl. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.